Hi, I'm Ed Young. This is my lovely wife, Lisa. She's also a comic. And welcome to the Creative Marriage Podcast. She is funny.
I am not funny.
We have with us Caitlin and Eric Swanson, and they've been sharing their story with us, Lisa. It's a riveting story about infertility, about leaning on God, patience, and what God has done in their marriage.
And now that they are young parents, because baby Hadley was born in October?
August.
What's her birthday?
Wow. August
24th. Oh, Sterling's August 25th. Yes.
Wow. They were so
my
close.
Granddaughter. Our granddaughter, Sterling. Yes. Okay. So Hadley was born in August. So from August, she's 8 months, 7 months?
7 months.
7 months old. How? Because this is a big deal in marriage.
Wow.
Young couples, and you had how many years on your own without a baby?
11 years.
Okay, 11 years on your own without a baby. Whenever a major transition happens in a person's life, in a couple's life, I mean, that's where you can either grow closer together or you can drift apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here comes bouncing baby Hadley.
Yes.
What have been the adjustments? Talk to us about some of the adjustments besides lack of sleep.
Lack of sleep is definitely one of them. We're still trying to figure it out. I think even Caitlin even just recently put in our calendar all the date nights because we have not been super intentional about that. So she's like, "Hey, I'm going to get the babysitters for the next 4 months.
We need to give them
Right. I'm going to sign this book, Caitlin.
Thank you.
We talk
about date night.
Yeah, that's right.
But that has been a big change for us because date night was so spontaneous before. It's like, do you want to go out tonight? Let's go out tonight. Now it takes very serious planning. And I truly have our date nights mapped out for the rest of the summer on our calendar, something I never really thought I'd have to do. But
so that's one of those things where you definitely plan.
Yes.
Because if you don't plan for your dates,
it won't happen.
Everything else will encroach upon your schedule and it won't happen.
And sometimes it is more work, not necessarily, it wasn't on my end, but on Lisa's end, more work to get everything ready for the date night than like the date night. Does that make sense?
For Ed and I, we didn't even really tackle date nights until the twins were born, which
that's
is
right.
Again,
terrible.
Ed and I made a lot of marriage mistakes.
Yeah.
And by God's grace, we've learned from them. But, you know, Lee Beth was born, then 5 years later, EJ had health problems. And so that played into it. And we didn't know, but it was when I went to our pediatrician after the twins were born and she's like, "Have you and Ed been on a date?"
What are you talking about? And she has a weird laugh.
The pediatrician.
Yes.
I love her.
Oh, she's brilliant. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
But she.
She laughed at me because.
She asked that question.
I was like, a date.
We made the big mistake of going to see Forrest Gump, which is like a 4-hour movie. Oh, you don't do that when you're going out for the first time after you're leaving your babies.
Yeah.
But it is a lot of planning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so talk to me. We're going to talk about date night, but talk to us about just like you bring the baby home from the hospital and that transition, like both of y'all work, but you had some maternity leave.
Yes.
So that's good. So, but getting into a rhythm of the sleeping and how did that go? Does Hadley sleep through the night?
She does now. She's been a great sleeper, I would say, from the beginning. But early on, I mean, babies, they wake up like every 2 hours to eat and it's like party time. So we're like, oh my goodness. So it was definitely an adjustment. Everything was an adjustment for us. So even, you know, during my maternity leave, I'm like, you know, Eric had some time home with both of us and then he went back to work. And so there I am with this baby all day. And I'm like, what do I do with her? Like, you know, and trying to figure out her sleep. And you can get kind of obsessive about these things. And so there were a lot of
Did you use any sleep training? Like,
so we actually, your daughter, Laurie, shared a book with us while I was still pregnant called Moms on Call. And it was very helpful just in it's a schedule and I'm a schedule girl. And so we put Hadley on a schedule pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And that was very important, I think, for her, but also for us to know, okay,
what to expect.
She's going hopefully to sleep at this time. And now we have this time.
And those are the goals. Yes. Mm-hmm. They don't always work if they're sick or something like that. It's interesting because our twins, the ones that we went on the date when they were little, they are now moms themselves. Mm-hmm. And Laurie is extremely scheduled, but still flexible. Mm-hmm. Landra is a little bit more go with the flow. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting, but that's their personality. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say one is better than the other. You have to figure out your own patterns of parenting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I do believe God is a God of schedule. Mm-hmm. Schedules work.
Yes.
They really do. And they do help you when it comes to the date night, when it comes to these things, to have kind of something that you can say to the babysitter, okay, this is the way it goes. So that it's not really a free for all,
right?
Especially when you have multiple children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of, at first we felt like the baby was running our life.
It has to.
Yeah. So the schedule really helped us to just kind of, I don't know.
Even before the babysitter.
So you're saying you're saying though, okay, obviously we're saying God's the God of the schedule. And as soon as you can, get your baby on a schedule so you can lean into your schedule as well.
Yes. I think that worked for us.
It's funny because you see this beautiful bouncing baby and you're like, oh, a miracle, miracle. And literally it is like they're looking at you thinking, I'm taking over this place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they are all consuming.
Yeah. Yeah.
All consuming. So parents, we have to quickly, those first months are adjustment months, but we have to quickly get to where we're showing our children we're in charge. They can depend on us to be in charge because children want leadership.
Yes.
They do.
They scream for boundaries. They beg for boundaries.
Yes. I remember the pediatrician that we had, we were actually living in Houston at the time. Dr. D. Reagan was his name. And that was when Lee Beth was a baby. And he told me when I took her home from the hospital, he said, the first 30 days of life, you do whatever she needs you to do. Mm-hmm. Day 31, you start teaching her what life is going to look like. And I thought to myself, I could do 30 days.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a choice, but I can do 30 days. And then he helped me understand like parent controlled feeding, eat, wake, sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it worked. I mean,
what's the most challenging thing, Eric, from a man's perspective that you dealt with so far?
I think.
And don't hold back.
Don't hold back.
Like, if it makes you look selfish, go ahead and say it.
No, I actually think that it's kind of, Caitlin kind of struggled. We struggled with a few things.
Yes.
Off the bat, just like as far as eating and things like that and sleep. We became obsessive about that.
About Hadley's sleep.
Yes.
We wanted to sleep, but we were obsessive about her sleep.
So I try to be
That's
great. Voice of reason.
Yes.
Yes.
So of the two of you, who is more laid back?
Me.
Okay.
Yes. So when it came to her sleep or her, eating and things like that, just I tried to be a voice of reason. I think there's a lot of things that people don't realize when it comes
to... So being a voice of reason is not always easy, is it?
No.
But what do people not realize?
Just kind of like how hard it is to have a baby, even in the little things.
To be very careful.
That's right.
Yes.
When you say these things.
Yeah.
So you were very what?
So I was very nervous about the pregnancy, nervous about the delivery.
Yeah.
That was because obviously the trauma we went through. I was more nervous about that. I had five brothers and sisters growing up. So there's six of us. I had little brothers and sisters. I was like, once we have the baby, it's easy. I thought that. But
your mom made it look easy.
Yeah, my mom made it look easy.
Yes.
So it's just awakening when just the struggles Caitlin goes through. Very empathetic. I'm a middle child, so I empathize for her.
That's great.
Things like that she's going through and trying to help her.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Two things that I struggled with after Hadley was born. One was feeding her. They make it seem like it just happens and it's work. It's difficult. And so there was a point where Eric was like, just give her a bottle. We're just going to give her a bottle tonight. And I was like, is that okay? I don't know. You know, you don't know as a new parent. You're like, is that okay? And so that was huge for us.
You know what's interesting?
So little, but
when during the 1950s, 60s, bottle feeding with formula was the thing to do.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? I asked my mother about that.
Yeah, when we were born. Yeah, oh yeah, that was the deal, bottle.
People who didn't have funds, they didn't have money, they had to breastfeed and nurse their children. Whereas if you were, and we weren't, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, my dad worked at the post office, but it's almost like that was something to strive for, that you could feed your baby formula.
Interesting.
And then everything switched and it's like, oh, the best is for you to nurse.
Yeah.
But with that said, not everybody is cut out for it.
Right.
And I just feel like anytime that there is a, oh, you must like do this, ultimatum, like an ultimatum, and especially a highly opinionated person who says, you're not nursing, you know, whatever. Again, of our twins, Landra nursed all throughout. Laurie, she just gave it a time frame, and that was what she set her goal for, and then that was it. So it's just, it depends.
Yeah.
But so we stress over all these little things.
And like, I was stressed.
Like, am I right? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so Eric was that voice of reason, like, this is okay. This is our baby. We can do what we need to do for her right now. And then also, and this, you know, affected our marriage too. Once Hadley was born, was some postpartum anxiety that I had. And so that's something that a lot of people don't really talk about. And we had already struggled.
Yeah. Talk to us about that postpartum anxiety, because a lot of us deal with anxiety
and depression.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And depression. And that's this real deal.
Yes.
Because so many people, as we know, deal with depression, anxiety,
but hormones play into this
significantly.
I think we take for granted, again, not only the miracle of the baby, but the miracle of the mom and all the emotions.
You know, I made a word up, hormones. Is that funny?
No. Hormones.
Okay.
Not hormones. What are yours? Hismones?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm dealing with hismones. But we see this, but there is so much that your body goes through to deliver a baby. Mm-hmm. And that's the physical side.
Yes.
But there's also the emotional hormonal side. And it's way bigger than we think because it's not seen so much.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So how did Eric balance the anxiety? Eric, you seem to have, and you said you're a middle child, so you're empathetic.
Yes.
So that's just a gift you have.
What would you say
to the people who are not empathetic? How do you get empathy? You know, I heard of somebody told me one time, and they were going through a season of grief, you know, continued grief because it was the death of a child. And this man made a comment. He said, I just don't have much empathy. And she said, you better get empathy because one day you're going to need empathy. And so regardless of how you're wired or where you are in the birth order, all of us need to be empathetic about the needs of others. Jesus was empathetic over one another. And a lot of marriages, they hit big roadblocks when they lose the ability or don't acknowledge the need to be empathetic to the spouse.
So anyway, Caitlin, so you were dealing with depression, anxiety,
Eric swooped in with a Superman cape and helped.
That's right.
I know. I think the doctor did that.
Eric was actually very helpful, very hands-on and involved just in helping with Hadley. So that was huge for us. And, you know, every marriage is different. Everybody's schedules are different. But the way our schedule worked out, we are working together. We're in ministry together. We're going home at the same time. We're parenting side by side as we're going through this.
Right.
I do believe, you know, just he was very vigilant, I think, from the beginning of even just looking for like kind of warning signs of like, is she okay? Because I think because of the trauma even that we went through before.
That's great.
Eric has dealt with the anxiety himself as well. And so it was just constant communication. And once I did say, I don't feel like myself right now. And this isn't, you know, I would worry about
so
things.
Good so good that you articulate. You felt safe enough to articulate that.
Yeah. And so his response was, well, you should talk to your doctor. Yeah. Like, let, you know, so it was just, it was a progression of like, let's do something about this.
Yeah. That's good.
And, you know, I did, it wasn't immediate, you know, I kind of let myself feel how I was feeling for a little mm-hmm. while, but it was fears that were, they were logical on one hand, but illogical on the other hand. Mm-hmm. So like,
well, logical fear that is obsessed over becomes illogical.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's whenever it gets out of, there's healthy fears yeah. and then it gets to an unhealthy place.
Yeah.
So, but I really appreciate the fact that you guys have shared just the journey of infertility, the journey of having a baby, and now mm-hmm. how to do life once she's here mm-hmm. and now that she is here and doing it well and understanding those trauma points, because mm-hmm. you've mentioned several times trauma.
Yeah.
And all of us experience trauma in different ways throughout our lives, throughout mm-hmm. our marriages, mm-hmm. and how to navigate that yeah. with victory and to get through it mm-hmm. together. Yes. And so you can have a creative marriage.
That's right. Well, Eric, Caitlin, thank you for spending time with us.
Yes.
Lisa, thank you. And thank you for connecting. We would love to promote our book, The Creative Marriage, The Art of Keeping Your Love Alive. Also, to make sure to give us a 5-star rating. I mean, this is 5-star stuff right here, no doubt about it. And we'll see you next time on another podcast called The Creative Marriage.